closing, I'd like to say that this heliport is key not only to SEVA's future as a company, but it has been a missing link in the reduction of impacts at other heliports in the borough.
The latest on a possible heliport at 26 Mile Haines Highway and a basketball update on the Panthers and Glacier Bears. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell with Adam Richard. That news and more up next.
A proposed heliport in a rural residential area in Haines has failed for now. The Haines Borough Planning Commission met Thursday evening in the Assembly Chambers. Seating in the audience was approaching capacity, with many in attendance for the public hearing concerning a conditional use permit for a proposed heliport by SEVA at 26 Mile, specifically 0.6 Mile Chilcat Lake Road. After the chairman's report and the borough manager's report, it was SEVA's turn. Both Nick Trimble and Scott Sundberg were in attendance. Things got started as SEVA's Scott Sundberg hung two maps for the commissioners to see, outlining the location of their proposed heliport, ski areas, flight paths, property owners, and a decibel contour map. Sundberg then addressed the commission.
Good evening, of course. Scott Sundberg on behalf of SEVA. I'd like to say thank you for dedicating your time.
Sundberg then refers to a report written by Borough Manager Mark Ernest that was given to the Planning Commission with his opinions of whether or not SEVA's heliport meets the criteria required by Haines Borough Code 18.50.040, which lists eight requirements that need to be met in order to be eligible for a conditional use permit, or CUP.
SEVA will prove by preponderance of the facts presented that the manager's opinions regarding this heliport as inconsistent with the harmony of the area not to be true. We have prepared an argument that contains objective reasoning and hard facts to conclude that we do in fact meet the eight criteria for the CUP.
Ernest concluded his report by saying, "The factors listed above mean that I am unable to find that three of the required eight findings, all of which must be met in order to grant a proposed conditional use, have been met. The three criteria not being met, in Ernest's opinion, had to do with noise and nuisance, development being in harmony with a comprehensive plan, and granting of the CUP being not harmful to public safety." As Sundberg addressed the commission, he worked his way down the list of required conditions, making his case for each, and at the same time rebutted Ernest's opinions given in his report to the commission. With noise pollution being one of the biggest points of contention by those opposed to the heliport, Sundberg took some extra time to address this point. He pointed out that the proposed property was in the general use zone and so had no noise restrictions. He then made comparisons between current noise levels in the area, like sawmills, gravel extraction, tour buses, and snow machines, and decibel levels of helicopters, claiming they were in line with current accepted noise levels. In conclusion, Sundberg had this to say.
In closing, I'd like to say that this heliport is key not only to SEVA's future as a company, but it has been a missing link in the reduction of impacts at other heliports in the borough. If we had been using the helipad since 2008 when we first landed here, the reductions would have pointed out to the Planning Commission would have been realized much sooner. SEVA feels that the facts that we have presented to the PC are objective, are supportable in code, and defendable. We have come through the PC and the public process once again to show that we are willing to stand on our merits and work with the community.
Chairman Ron Goldberg then addressed the commission and audience by reading all eight required criteria for a CUP. He then opened up the meeting to public comment.
My name is Sue Waterhouse. I have a business. I live at mile 2.2 near the airport. And you know what? I hear noise all day long. And I welcome noise. It means we have a thriving business and things are happening. And I'm frustrated that we don't support somebody that wants to come to Haines, start a business. And I can't believe that we aren't supporting them. And one other last thing, I mean, they're asking for business during business hours from February 1st to May 1st, now when nothing is happening here in Haines.
Good. My name is Nicholas Shutkovsky. It doesn't mean that people can't do, you know, some people don't mind noise, some people even like noise, and we have a right to do that. Somebody wants to make a lot of noise, they have a right to do that, and that's great. But if you're making noise that intrudes onto my property, you're actually infringing on my property rights. You do not have a right to do that. That's very clearly established in law. That's why those 8 points are listed in the borough code, to make sure that conditional use permits are not infringing on other people's rights. You don't, just because something is a potential right in the general use zone, doesn't mean you automatically get it and you can just sue because you didn't get whichever you wanted. However, you can sue if your property rights are infringed upon.
The public comment continued for 2 hours, with those opposed to the heliport outnumbering those for it more than 3-1. Chair Goldberg cut the public comment at nearly 9 o'clock and then turned the discussion over to the commissioners. The commission was clearly divided, with comments for and against the heliport being given. Here's Commissioner Lee Heinmiller.
The bottom line is nobody here is saying I'm against heliskiing. What we're reiterating as the public, which we've heard 70 hours of public testimony since I've been on the Planning Commission, we've been up the valley, we've been everywhere, our recommendation to the Borough Assembly as the Planning Commission was succinct. It said, quit using 18 mile, quit using 33 mile, move your aircraft to the airport where everyone expects aircraft to fly out of, level the playing field, and we'll be out of this loop. If somewhere in the future we decide that the airport's capacity is exceeded and for safety or anything else, they need an extra heliport someplace because there's a hospital or because you don't have transportation or whatever, that's a particular issue. The rest of it is, we heard 70 hours of public testimony and almost to the 95% point, everyone said, first and foremost, they should be flying out of the airport.
And Commissioner Roger Maynard.
We're a nation of laws. We're not a nation of mob rule. The laws are to protect what the majority wants, as well as the rights of property owners and individuals. What the question is here, how much we want to restrict the rights of the property owners to do what is legal on their property.
After the other commissioners had a chance to weigh in, a motion was put forth by Roger Maynard to attach a bundle of conditions to the CUP that SEBA would be required to follow upon the approval of their permit. The motion was carried by a 4-2 vote, which caused a bit of a disruption in the audience as those opposed to the CUP were visibly upset by the possibility that the permit application appeared to be picking up speed. Chair Ron Goldberg then called for a vote.
Okay, question's been called for. All in favor of approving SEBA's conditional use permit for a heliport on this particular site with the list of conditions that we've gone over, if you're in favor of it, please indicate by raising your hand. And all opposed? Okay, we have a 3-3 tie. The motion fails.
The failing of the CUP doesn't mean the issue is dead. SEBA can appeal to the Borough Assembly, and there has been talks by SEBA of litigation against the borough.
Haines and Skagway basketball teams are traveling the Marine Highway to match up against 5 conference teams over about a week and a half. Skagway's team just finished up an island tour of Prince of Wales Island that paired them with Thorne Bay, Klawock, and Heidelberg. The Panthers girls lost to the Klawock Chieftains 38-67 on Friday, with Rory Leverton bringing in 18 points for Skagway. The Chieftains again gave the Panthers girls a run for their money on Saturday night, with our girls losing 16-60 to the POW team. The Skagway boys took the Klawock game by 1 point on Friday, racking in the first conference win for the Panthers boys. The Panthers had the lead at each quarter and won 49-48 with Nick Ackerman scoring 10 for the Panthers. The next night, the Panthers didn't keep up their pace against the Chieftains and lost 42-74, with Danny Moore bringing in the most points for Skagway. On Sunday, the boys faced Heidelberg for the first time this season. They trailed the Warriors until the end of the game, when they evened the score with 2 minutes left in the game. 3 failed free throws couldn't break the tie, and the game went into overtime, where the Warriors took the game 56-53. In their second matchup Monday night, the Panthers lost their momentum and lost to Heidelberg 37-61. Skagway players, due for some playtime at home, host Cake for games on February 3rd and 4th. The Southern Southeast town doesn't have a girls team this year, so the girls won't play again until Hoonah boys and girls teams are in Skagway to play February 8th and 9th. Then they travel to Yakutat over Valentine's Day, when games will air on KHNS that Monday and Tuesday night. The Haines boys delayed games against Wrangell due to ferry cancellations, which kept the Wolves boys from traveling north. Instead, the two match up early this week. At the time of this report, the JV and varsity teams were each one game into a two-game tournament. The Bears' JV boys lost 44-47 on Monday night, and the varsity team took the win against the Wolves by 1 point. Coach Steve Fossman said the 48-47 win was close, but the Bears were able to break Wrangell's aggressive strategy to keep the game on their side.
It was a really tight game all the way. They have one guy named Clayton Stokes that does the bulk of their scoring, so we had to try to contain him and hold him down. But even though that was a big focus for us, we didn't do a very good job because I think he had 25 points, and he's one of those guys that really looks to try to finish the game off in the fourth quarter. So he's tough. He's a real tough competitor. I'd like to see a better job offensively from us tonight. Our fast break at one point kind of kept us. Got the game for us. We actually got some breaks on them when they full court press. Wrangell, that's their style. They like to full court press, trap, be real physical, and try to force turnovers, score off the turnover. So we actually broke that a few times and scored on it ourselves. So that's kind of how we kept the game on our side at the end.
The Haynes girls were away in Wrangell last weekend. They kept a close game with the home team, which had foul trouble in the first half. At halftime, they stood 20-24 with Wolves in the lead. Haynes' Anna Jacobson brought in 5 points in the third, narrowing the Wolves' lead, including a three-pointer and a steal. But in the end, they lost to Wrangell Wolves 38-48. The Haynes girls play on the home court this weekend against Craig on Friday and Saturday at Haynes High School. The boys are away at Craig. Games will air on KHNS January 27th and 28th. As of Tuesday afternoon, with one more Haynes-Wrangell game left, the Haynes boys stood at 3-2 for the season. The Skyway boys are at 1-7, and the Panthers girls are at 4-2 for the season in conference. This is Tara Bicknell with Adam Richard for KHNS.